That was one of those, I want to clap, but I'm not sure I'm supposed to clap type times. It's good to be back with you. It's been a while. Made it through most of vacation time without getting sick. And then missed last week. I've about figured out this year must going to be a good banner year for you. Because last week you got to hear a New Year's preparatory type of message. And you're going to hear another one today, as we continue to get ready for this new year. Only 2 weeks into the year, so still very new to us. Do not know what's around the corner. Sometimes I'm glad God doesn't tell us what's around the corner, because it would scare us to death if we knew some of those things ahead of time. Through the time we're together today, I want to share with you several quotes of things. I'm going to start off with several from some of our founding fathers to help us think in terms of getting started on the right foot, and what a blessing it is to know God, and that blessing of knowing God is going to help us navigate through a new year and a new time frame. Then I'll share some other quotes with you from different commentators along the way. Kind of as we start and we think through this, it's said that 52 of the 55 signers of the Constitution that we have is 52 of them were devout Christians. The other three were deists, and that just means that they still followed the scriptures. They looked in the scriptures for insight to life. They looked for the movement of God and the destiny of creating this new nation. You might be interesting to know that one of the early things that Congress did, one of the first things that they did, was that they established the American Bible Society. And one of those first acts that took place was that they purchased 20,000 copies of the Bible to hand out to the new civilians of this new country. And it's kind of unique to think about the government handing out Bibles to its constituency. And we know Patrick Henry. We know the words that he said as they were ratifying and moving towards the revolution in 1775 about give me liberty, give me death. But in 1776, as they were really beginning to put together our nation, it said that these words are attributed to him. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religiousness, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for that reason alone, people of other faith have been afforded freedom of worship here. So the beginning, we started with looking to God as the nation was beginning to be birthed. President John Adams wrote in his address July the 4th, 1821, "The highest glory of American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity." So even early on, as this nation was established and was beginning to move, they were still trying to hold on to those Christian principles. James Madison, one of the writers of the Constitution, wrote these words, "We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all political institutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments." Some good things to be reminded of even today. It's said that on the top of the Capitol, the Washington Monument, there's the words, Laus Deo, which simply means praise be to God. On the 12th landing of the stairwell there's a prayer plaque from the city of Baltimore. On the 20th landing, there's a memorial to Chinese Christians. On the 24th, there's a presentation from Sunday school children from the cities of New York and Philadelphia with the words inscribed from Proverbs 10:7. Luke 18:16 and Proverbs 22:6 that are listed there. If you're looking out from the Washington Monument, you can see that it's the founder of the city, or the developer of the city, Pierre Charles Effenat, designed the city to look like the means of a cross. You have the White House to the north, you have the Capitol to the south, you have the Jefferson Memorial to the south, the Capitol to the east, and then the Lincoln Memorial to the west. Again, those founding fathers. It's kind of ironic, though, today that in some places in our country that the mere mention of God and our nation as America, putting those two together, it seems to offend people today. And it wasn't that long ago that there was a push to remove one nation under God, away from the pledge to the flag. And even former President Obama stated in an address that he was given in Turkey years ago that America was no longer a Christian nation. Well, that may offend some folks, but in reality, it's true. Particularly if you think in terms of what was happening in 1776 and so many national founders expressed their Christian faith in their writings and in what they communicated. So again, it emphasizes to me that our nation, as it was founded on some principles from the Scriptures and about following God, the importance of getting started on the right foot. So as we think about a new year, getting started on the right foot would be just important. So find in your Bibles this morning, if you would, Psalms 33. We'll begin reading about verse 11. Psalms 33, verse 11. If you're using a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 405, and there you should be able to find Psalm 33, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now, this particular psalm is a psalm that was used to help lead the nation of Israel in worship. It was to remind them of the blessings of knowing God. The first few verses of this particular passage is to give thanks to God. And he says to give thanks to God with a lyre, which was a 12-string guitar, harp type instrument that would be used. It says to sing a new song to the Lord as well, to do so with shouts. So again, this is a time of great praise and admiration of leading to God. Today we're going to see how starting this new year with God leads to a blessed year, getting started on the right foot. We're going to see about the blessings that come from God's people or from people who know and acknowledge God. It's a good thing when God blesses a nation. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us that every person in that nation has to be converted or be a born-again person. It does say that the nation does need to recognize the Lord God as their God, and that's what we'll read. So read with me. Psalm 33, pick up in verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people who He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven, and He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army, or a warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by his great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love, that they may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Now, there's some indication that this particular psalm was an adaptation of a Canaanite mythological song or poem about creation. And you thought taking secular songs and adapting them to songs of worship was a new thing. Little did we know, it was happening thousands of years ago in this. This song demonstrates, though, God's power and His work in history. I mean, there's some pretty powerful words here that we began with. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Did you catch that? The counsel of God stands forever. It's always been there, and it's always going to be there. And He plans His heart for all generations. So God is working on the behalf of all humanity because His counsel and His insight and His guidance in life is always there. So God's in control of human history. Now, we think wrongly when we think that elections are going to vote and even though we're to vote and exercise our rights, I think we think wrongly when we think that that vote or that election is going to set the course of life. No, only God can do that. Everything's going to work according to God's plan. Nothing's going to upset God's plan. I don't know if you've ever thought this or not, but you know, the early church, they didn't have national elections. They didn't get to vote on what took place in their nation or in their world. Yet they continued to work and do the will of God. And the church flourished because they were focused upon God. That's what this psalm calls each of us to do, is to focus upon God and to follow Him. I've often, in some sense, privately wondered, do we as Americans, do we as Christians in America have to lose some freedoms in order for us to begin to do and operate under the will of God? Do we have to lose those freedoms so that we would once turn back to God and make Him the God of all the nation? Notice verse 12. It says, blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen in His heritage. We as a nation, we have enjoyed a favoritism by God. God has used America to bring peace and hope, not only to our own nation, but to other nations as well. And it seems that God still allows that to happen, even though the inner turmoil that we're experiencing as a nation. The fear I have, though, again, is that can we really call ourselves a Christian nation any longer when we have less than a third of our population of our nation that even claim to be Christian? Many are claiming nothing, no belief system whatsoever. That status is changing. It's time to remind ourselves of the hope and the blessings of knowing God. The challenge is to help others then understand the blessings and the knowing and the knowledge of God. The challenge is getting above, beyond those things and helping others not only in our own country but in places around the world to enjoy the same blessings of what it means to know God. We have to rediscover some of that ourselves. Now don't forget, notice what we just read. It's God who does the choosing. God chose Israel. Don't know that God chose America necessarily, even though, again, we have been blessed and have God has used us in the world because at least one time we did recognize God as the Lord. Again, notice verse 11, God is watching from a distance. He knows what's going on. He knows the hearts of man, both inside the church and outside the church. We are accountable to God for our lives, whether we think we are or not. We're accountable to God. We're going to answer to God for how we choose to live life and whether or not we're following Him, whether or not we're following in the blessings that He wants to give to us and living in the fullness of that inheritance of God. Now, what's all this mean? Well, three or four things we're going to pull out here, all right? Number one, you find comfort in knowing God. That's what He said. He said, God is watching out for us. God is watching over us. We find comfort in knowing God because He is the one in control of human history. If God is in control of human history, then I need to look for Him or look for His activity. And knowing and realizing that nothing is going to disrupt the plans of God. No plan from ourselves, no plan of humanity. God's working His plan. We are part of His blessing. We have been His chosen because He has chosen us through Christ, God's heritage. What a promise to live in. What a promise to live in. That God has chosen a favorable status to us. We just got through Christmas. Remember, it's the favor of God, of whom God, His favor, His grace comes for those whom He is pleased. He is pleased to work in our lives. That should bring us great comfort when we follow Him. Solomon will write for us in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We can have all kinds of great thoughts and ideas about life, but it's in finding that purpose in God that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to stand. That's what's going to take place. Someone once said, the whole human history of the world is the uninterrupted carrying out of the divine plan of salvation, the primary object of which is His people. But in and with these are included humanity at large. So again, God's in charge of human history, and God's working His plan to bring salvation to the world, that none would perish. He desires that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. So this is what God's working to, is revealing Himself. The challenge then is for you and I to put aside our desires, to give up our plans and take upon and follow God's plan. Besides, you know, that's where the blessings are, is in following God's plan. It's when we're following and we're in step with God, that's when the blessings flow and God works. There's that comfort that we have in knowing God. Verses 16 and 17, he talks about the kings and the war horse and the warrior. That's not where hope is found. Kings, rulers, presidents, chancellors, dictators, a nation of people, and opening a government. Government or military cannot bring victory. A government and a military cannot bring hope. The government cannot take care of you. That's something only God can do. God's the only one that's going to rescue us. It comes from the hands of God. It comes through the sacrifice of Christ. when he came and he died on the cross and then he resurrected out of the grave 3 days later. That's where we find the hope to live. That is where we find, as we see here, the blessing of God through his security and peace comes because Christ came and he died for us. And then that blessing of knowing God brings comfort for life. The comfort is living in the security and the peace that only comes from God. Something that man cannot promise. No matter how great a military you might have or how great of government you might have, it can't promise those things because that's only a gift from God. The will of God, the plan of God comes from his heart to his children. It comes from his heart to his followers. It's in keeping this watchful eye. And did you notice as we read through there? It's keeping a watchful eye, not just for his chosen people, but he's keeping a watchful eye over everyone, over the humanity. What a promise, what a blessing that God's working his plan and nothing's going to divert that plan as he is taking care of us and he's revealing himself through life. There is so much futility in depending upon man. There's so much futility in depending upon human strength. Again, the power of the warrior doesn't bring victory. It's God who brings the victory. He does throw, again, through his son Jesus. Jesus, the one who knew no sin, who became sin for us so that we might be saved. He takes on our sin so that he can offer us life to live. Notice verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So you not only find comfort in knowing God, there's those blessings that come because of the security and the peace that only comes from God. And then you're blessed because of the hope that comes from God's love. Now hope in the scriptures, when you read through it, it has the idea that you're waiting upon God. It's more than just wishful thinking. We've just kind of discovered that hope in the scriptures as you read through it is more than just wishful thinking. Oh, I wish God would do this, or I wish God would do that. There's a sense of confidence in what we know or who we know about God. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember those three guys? They were some friends of Daniel. They were up in the leadership, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king at the time, he had created this humongous statue that people were supposed to come out at a certain time when they heard music, and they were to bow down and to worship and pray to the statue. Everybody did that except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were turned in. And the idea was if you didn't bow down and worship, then you're going to be put into the furnace, the fire, that they used to forge the statue. Remember what Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said to the king? They said, our God can save us from the flame. That's hope. That's confidence. That's faith. And he said, king, our God can save us from the furnace, but he may not choose to do so. But we're still not going to bow down to you. See, there again is hope and confidence and faith. They had a hope in what they knew God could do, but they waited to see what God would do. They were unmoved in this. The decision for their lives wasn't based upon what they wished God would do. The decisions of their life was based upon what they know God could do. See, that's hope and confidence. I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do. I know what he can do. So where is this hope founded? We read it's founded in the steadfast love of God. That's for us. That means it's unwavering. That God will show his loving kindness to us. That God would give us favor. That God would give us grace. That God would give us mercy. And oh, how we need the grace and the mercy of God. It's the only way we're going to make it in life is because of God's grace and mercy. God will always act kindly to his people. Look at this. God always does what's best for humanity. God does always what's best for his people. Now look again. What it says, those who fear him, those who have this reverent respect for God, for those who stand in awe of the greatness of God. You know, I kind of think that's kind of a lost art today. We don't stand and look for the awe of God. We don't stand and looking for the reverence of God. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, it seems that we so easily work to do the things that we want to do, more so than we contemplate what God wants to do. I mean, think about our prayers even. How much of our prayers, even though we don't phrase it like this, we spend so much time telling God what we want Him to do in our prayer lives instead of simply asking God, what are you going to do? God, what do you want to do in my life? We can be praying for other people and we're telling God, here, you need to do this in their life. No. God, what is it that you want me to do in encouraging them or showing your love to them or following you in those things? And we do this even in church life. We tend to want to make our life, we tend to want to make the church operate the way we want it and church be like what we want it to be instead of what God wants to give to us. The life we build, and we have to know this, the life that we build ourselves ends in destruction. It ends nowhere. The life that God builds is a life that He builds that's full of hope and a future. And it leads to life. It leads to eternal life. Victory belongs to God. It's God who gives the hope. It's God that we find that hope as we follow Him because we enjoy the victory. God's answer for this world, God's answer for the sin problem in the world, was His very own Son, Jesus. He did what was best. He did what only God could do in taking care of that thing that holds all of us captive. He sends Jesus. He dies on that cross. Is buried, and in 3 days He comes out of the grave so that we can live in the power of the resurrection. That power that was in that brought life to Jesus is the same power that we can live in and day out. It's the same power that's going to sustain us until that time we get into heaven with Him. What a promise. What a blessing. One last thing, verse 20. For our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. See, there's that hope again that's based and rooted in the steadfast love of God. We find comfort in knowing God. And the blessingness of knowing God brings in security and peace of life. And in the hope of life. But also we're blessed because God, it's in the joy He brings to us. We're blessed by God in the joy He brings. God is our help. He's our soul. He's our breath. It's a life that's dependent upon Him. All things in our lives waits for the movement of God. We wait for the movement of God in our lives. That's where life comes together. It's where life, it makes sense. It's where life gets to be lived. It's where the gladness of the heart lives. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Those who explicitly wait upon God, those who explicitly seek God, those who explicitly follow God, they live in the joy of God because there's nothing to fear. I don't know if you've discovered this or not, but when's the time that joy is lessened in your life? When is the time that joy wanes in life? It's because we've taken our eyes off of God and we've put it on ourselves. We've taken our eyes away from God and we begin to worry about things. And we begin to become afraid about things, but there's nothing to fear. Again, the joy of the Lord is the strength. It's how we find the ability to live day to day. One writer writes this, he says, creation is not an abstract doctrine providing answers to human intellectual curiosity concerning the origin and the nature of the world. Rather, creation doctrine deals with the world in its relationship to God, to human history, and to individual human beings. He's the creator, and therefore He controls everything. History that we're living is directed by God. It's His story of His activity in the lives and in the hearts of man. It comes because there's such joy in knowing God, and God is working to reveal Himself. There's blessedness in knowing God because there's where we find the security and the peace of life. It's the blessing of God in knowing that we have hope for life, not only here, but all in eternity because of His Son, Jesus. And then it's the joy that we find. It's the blessedness that we have, the joy to live day to day, This psalm leads us to worship God in comfort and in peace and wait upon God in confidence because he's the one at work. One man said it isn't enough to leave the place of worship simply feeling good because feelings are temporary and sometimes feelings are deceptive. But if we find ourselves loving God and his people more, having greater faith and hope in the Lord, and going forth in the battle of life with greater confidence and joy, then our worship has accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. So when we come into the presence of God to worship him, it's more than just going away feeling, having this warm, fuzzy feeling. It's about knowing God and experiencing God and experiencing him firsthand. So I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to make a commitment today. That today you're going to understand or you're going to begin to know God better. Begin the year in the knowledge of God. That happens one of two ways. First, happens in establishing that relationship with God through his son Jesus. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. So we have to go to God through the sacrifice of Christ, believing that he paid the price for our sins. And he offers us forgiveness in his grace. And we've accepted that. That's the first step in knowing God. The second part is in making that commitment of that day-to-day routine of following God. It's in that walk with God, that worship of God, that we seek the awe of God. It may have been a long time since you've worshipped, since you've really worshipped. I mean, you've shown up, but you haven't really saw the awe of God and the reverence of God. Maybe you've lost a sense of that joy that's there. Here's the thing, determine today. Determine today that this year is going to begin and end in the blessing of knowing God. And that comfort and security and peace and hope. When those are established, you can't help but live a joyful life. Let's pray together. As we pray, how is it you're going to come to know God better this year? Take the step of faith, believing, depending upon him, stepping into his goodness. God, we thank you for your great love for us. God, we thank that you continue to move heaven and earth to show yourself to us. Now, God, I pray that we might make that commitment today. One to believe, one to commit to the life of knowing you. That's where the comfort comes and the blessedness of life comes, is in walking with you. God, it's where we have hope and peace. God, it's certainly where joy is. So God, I pray today would be, I know it's 2 weeks into the new year, but today would be again a new day for us because we're going to walk with you. Help us to follow through. Encourage our heart. God, it truly is a blessing in knowing you. God, help us to, again, seek your awe daily. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand. As we sing, you come.